68 Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968 Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to revisit the book of Jude, if you don't mind. I want to go back and deal with our privileges once again. I'm led there, and God has some more to say about this word. Jude, I want to commence reading at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, I want to look at our privileges as we walk through this Word of God. It's so laden with principles and with privileges that the people of God must recognize as Jude write this short but powerful letter to the church, and how he mentions so many wonderful things, but time would not allow us to delve into all of them. So the last five verses is where I'd like to focus for the time that we have today. Now, the first thing that you need to know is that you as a believer have privileges in the Word of God, in the will of God, and the way of God. One of the things that you must recognize, as well as understanding your privileges, you also have the power to function in them and not only be blessed in them, but be a blessing in them. And that's so important, because again, there are times in our lives God will put us in positions and situations where if we understand our privileges and if we practice them, we will be a greater blessing in those times when we desire to be, and many times don't realize how God has intended us to be because we really don't know his word. How many times have you been in a situation, maybe somebody died, maybe someone has called you and they've, I mean, been distraught, and they wanted a word from the Lord from you, and you couldn't tell them nothing but hold on. Hang in there, God's gonna work it out. And you really couldn't go to the Word and really share anything with them or understand your privilege as a believer to know that there are some things you can do with the saved and with the unsaved. And Jude explores this, and I want to do this again and look at it again, beginning at verse 20. Look at what he focuses on. First of all, one of our privileges is building up our faith in God. Listen to what he says at the beginning of verse 20. But ye, beloved, talking about the born-again believers, building a continual process up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, your most holy faith is God's faith. And so here's what you need to realize. You should ever be growing. You should ever be moving to another level. You should ever be increasing in your most holy faith, or the God kind of faith. That should never reach a place where your faith plateaus out and you never go beyond that point. When you cease to grow in the faith arena, you cease to see God's mercies and God's favors and God's graces move to another level in your life, because God can only meet you where your faith level is. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, I don't care how much churching you do, how much prayer service you go to, how much singing you do, how much all of that you do, none of that pleases God like having faith in him. And you build up your most holy faith by the Holy Word, and then you begin to operate in that reality. So that's a constant building block. You should always be going to another level. You should always be moving up a little bit higher. God will allow you to go through one thing and then through another thing, and it always keeps preparing you for the next level and for the next level. And before you know it, you look at you're way up here and you wonder how you got up there. It's because you took one step after another step after another step, and before you knew it, you were. How many of you have grown in your faith where you can see, you look back at a time and say that what you could take now, you couldn't take, you couldn't have took or taken 2 years, 3 years, 10 years ago? You know it, but what you don't realize is it's been a constant building process. And so now when you look at what you can take, what you go, you remember that was a time somebody said something, you couldn't hold your peace. I mean, they couldn't even finish the sentence for you, just brrr. Now you look at them like, I remember when I was foolish like that. Just say first thing come to my mind, but now you know how to hold your tongue. You know how to hold your peace. You are a peacemaker now, not a peace breaker. I mean, you've grown, and that's how, again, through your challenges and through the Word of God, you are increased continually. Something else I want you to see. In that same verse, it also says praying in the Holy Ghost. Now look at this now. You're building up your most holy faith. That's the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. But then the next portion of that verse says praying in the Holy Ghost, or in the strength of the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the things that the believer has got to come to the knowledge of is that your prayers, as the old saints used to say, won't even get past the roof if it's not saturated with the power of the Spirit. Because you're not praying just in the natural realm with the verbal hearing or the ocular comprehension. You are praying when you release these words from your mouth into the spirit realm. Now here's what you need to know, that when you pray in the Spirit or in the strength of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, your prayers are sure to be answered by God, because number one, David has already recorded that if you regard iniquity in your heart, God's not going to hear you. So your most holy faith is going to line your prayer life up with the Spirit of God, and you're going to pray according to the Word of God. And when you pray according to the Word of God, the Spirit of God takes God's Word and your prayer, joins them together and lifts them up to God and causes what you have said to come to pass, because your faith and praying in the Holy Ghost or the power of the Spirit of God assures the believer that God not only hears your prayer, but God answers your prayer. It's your privilege to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's your privilege to pray in the Spirit. It's your privilege to know that the Holy Ghost will take your utterances and he'll do with them that you cannot do yourself. And that's important for the believer to understand, because we need to be careful what we let leave from our lips. Because what you don't understand is your prayer does not have to be positive. Your prayer can be negative, and you'll have the negative fruit of your prayers. Your prayers does not always please God when you say things out of his word or his will or his way. And the Holy Ghost will not usher mess up to God. If it doesn't line up, God's not going to honor it. He's not under warrant to honor it. So here's another thing. When you're praying in the Spirit, let me tell you what the Spirit of God will do. The Spirit of God, if you are praying under the unction of the Holy Spirit, if you're praying in the strength of the Holy Spirit will lead you into what you really ought to pray for. You know, we have prayers that we have to ask God for whatever our needs are and what our situations may be, etc. And that's our privilege too. But as a believer, we also, as God's vessel in the earth realm, have the right for God through his Spirit to lead us into those things that he would desire us to say. Now here's what you need to know. As a vessel of the Lord God, as a vehicle in the earth realm, part of your voice is to speak and to say what God wants you to say. And the Holy Ghost will give you the things to say. Even in your prayer life, you need to know that some burden, some problem, some war, some experiences will not be won and fought just in the earth realm, but in the spirit realm. If you're going to overcome the enemy, you're going to have to learn to do it in the spirit realm. You're going to learn how to pray in the spirit, in the power of the spirit, so that when he gets it and does it in the earth realm, then when it comes back here, it is done, because whatever is bound on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. But you've got to realize that though it seems as though it starts in the earth realm, it really starts in the spirit realm. And so your spirit must know and understand how the Spirit of God works and be anointed to pray in the Spirit of God. I want you to look at verse 21. Keeping in the love of God is the thing he's talking about here. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, what is Jude talking about? Keep yourselves in the love of God. It literally means to keep yourselves close to God, where you feel his love and you experience his love and you are an extension of his love. You see, the further you get away from the fire, the less heat you feel. The closer you get to the fire, the more heat you feel and the more you're warmed quickly. And listen at this, the further you stay away from God, the less you experience the love on the level that he wants you to experience it. So listen at this. Jesus tells us in the Word of God to love one another what? As, even as he has loved us. Well, here's what you need to realize. If you're too far from his love, you're going to be too far to impart the love. If you're not close to him, you're not going to share the love the way, because you're not receiving the love the way he wants you to receive it. So it's important to realize the only way that God can make you what he wants you to be is if you're close to him. The only way that men will know that you are my disciples is if you have loved one to another. Why is that important? Because love is of God, and the people of God are also extensions of his love. And so since people can't see God, but they see us, they ought to see the love that God has in us, and that love that he has in us ought to be extended to those who can't see him, but who sees us. That's why the word declares, you know, God said, how can you say you love me whom you've never seen and hate your brother whom you see every day? The word says you are a liar. Truth isn't in you. I really love the Lord, but I can't stand her. She make me sick. No, you lying, my sister. You lying, my brother. Because if you loved God, you'd even love your enemy. And so you got to get close to God to love your enemy, because the love that God has that's shed abroad in your heart will be extended to you. It ain't your love. Let me be clear about this. It's his love. Now, I mean, y'all sitting here acting holier than thou. Can I just be real right now and ask you a question? Do you really in yourself think you can love those folk that hate you, talk about you, low rate you, hang your name on the street? Do you really think in your love you can love them? See, the ones you ain't shaking your head are afraid to tell a lie, because I know. You can't do it. You're human. The natural nature will not let you do that. Retaliation is all a part of the natural physical man. To get back on somebody who's done you wrong, all that's natural. You can't do that with your love. It is limited. You don't believe it? Let somebody get up and just smack you on one side of your cheek. But you say, oh, praise the Lord, glory. What? Oh, no, it's on now. You ain't gonna give them chance to do. That's being real. That's the natural side. When somebody does you wrong, the natural thing is to do them back. It happens without you thinking many times. Except when you're walking in the spirit. And a flag will immediately go up. Lights will come on. Holy Ghost will hold your tongue in your hand. And you're like, Father, give me strength. Increase my faith. Peter thought he was asking a big thing, Lord. If my brother offended me seven times, shall I forgive him seven times? He think he's doing a big thing, brother. I said, no, man, you got it. That's too little, Peter. And when he got through, he said, Lord, 70 times 7. Increase my faith, Lord, because you know I'm a short-tempered brother that I go off at a moment's notice. And that was Peter's problem in the flesh. And it's many of ours as well. Road rage is another growing area in our country. We ain't always know there's road rage. We just know that old so-and-so cut in front of me. You just gave that much in and they edged in. If you wasn't afraid of messing up your car, you'd have rammed them on in. Talking about, I wish I was in one of those big old trucks. I'd run right over them. I know I ain't just talking by myself, because I sometimes feel that. I feel that. Oh, they see what you riding and they want you to hit them from behind. And if you ain't careful there, bro, Wilder, you might stick up some hands that got some fingers missing. Ooh, glory. Listen, if you will. Now, one of the things I want you to see, because it's your privilege to be able to keep in the love of God, and that's important. But look what it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you are looking for the mercy of God. You are not only looking for it for yourself, but you are looking for it again to extend to others. You're going to see how Jude flows on through with this same thought. Why is it important for you, again, to understand that? Well, first of all, when it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Do you know that salvation is connected with mercy? And it is the mercy that God gives us continually that keeps us where God wants us in spite of ourselves. And so that mercy, again, is when we don't deserve it. You know, we don't deserve grace either, but grace is the first time, if you will. Mercy is the over and over again time. Grace sets you up to get mercy. You got to come into the family to get that salvation that is sustaining through grace and the faith of God. Listen, his faith was strong enough to save you, but his faith is strong enough to sustain you. And that's where mercy comes in and plays its role as well. And it is even unto eternal life. God's word has already declared his mercy endureth till what? All generations, forever. That's what God wants us to look to. Because when you miss it, the devil, the first thing he'll do is pounce on you. And try and make you take your focus off of God, what God has for you. Believers do not have a license to sin, but here is the fact, we do. Let me tell you another interesting fact. All do. And if you're trying to tell me you don't do, I'm telling you, you do do. Because the Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's in the first place. That's the first problem. You missed it in the first place. So even when you get another chance, John picks it up and he says, if you say you have no sin, that's present tense. First chapter of 1 John says, if you say you have no sin, you're lying. The truth isn't in you. Because again, we sin by omission, commission, and volition. And in one of those three arenas, we are in a present state of sin. Unforgiveness. They're not all moral sins. Some of them are spiritual sins. There are some things God's told you to do, some things God told you to hold on to, you let go. Some things God told you to release, you're still holding on to. There are some places God told you to go, you're like, not today, God. I mean, there are things that you've got to realize that are sins, because James said, when you know better and don't do better, it's sin to you. And so when you come into the knowledge of the truth, you've got to realize then again, you have got to line your natural man up with the word of God. And that can't happen until the spiritual man understands his place and position with God. And so when you look at that, you'll see how, again, that eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And then look at what the word says in verse 22. Manifesting the compassion of God is what I want you to see. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Do you realize that you are going to bless people and make some people see God in a whole new light when you have compassion on them? You see, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference to people who you say you are and what you say you are until they see what you do and what you are. In other words, when you walk the walk and not just talk the talk, then that means many times they will be impacted by what they have witnessed about you. Not what they've heard, but they witnessed. In other words, if a man is hungry and you come there trying to preach the gospel to him, and you have the means, the wherewithal to feed him, and do not feed him and waste his time preaching to Jesus, and his stomach is competing with your voice, he ain't hearing you. Now, when you have compassion and stop trying to be holding thou, you know, you want to witness to him, the Spirit of the Lord say, you know, get him something to eat, take him, get something to eat, whatever, provide that for him, and you do that, I'm here to tell you, he will hear you a whole lot easier after his stomach is not making such loud noise. When you help somebody by the way God's Spirit leads you to and show compassion on them, they will hear you a whole lot quicker and see God working through you than you can ever imagine. And some people, you will make a difference in their lives only by showing the compassion of Christ. Jesus was ministering to a large crowd, and it was getting late in the evening, and he turned to the brothers and said, where can we buy bread? And they're like, Jesus, do you see all these people out here? Then we ain't got but 200 penny worth in the truck. Jesus, I ask you how much money we had. I ask you, where could we buy some bread? Now, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, not including women and children, was because Jesus had compassion. That miracle came out of compassion. The disciples said, Lord, if you let them go right now, some of them can get to a store and get them something to eat. Jesus is like, no, we're going to take care of them, because some of them will get weak, won't make it home. Some of them got longer ways to go than others. We're just going to feed everybody. And so there was a lad there who was hawking his wares and shouted out, I have 2 small fish left and 5 barley loaves. Get it while it lasts. And 200 penny worth was far more than than he needed to purchase that little bit of food. And then the Lord took it in his hand, blessed it, and broke it and gave it out, and making the men sit in numbers of 50, he gave everybody sufficient to eat, listen to this, till there were 12 baskets full left over. His compassion drove him to be a blessing to the people that could not be a blessing back to him. And see, when you are compassionate, you're not looking at trying to do something for somebody who can do something back for you. So it's kind of like, you know, I'll loan you $5 if you can pay me back. But compassion is God will speak to your heart. You might not even know that person. And he might put it on your heart and give them $20. You know you don't know them. You don't know that you'll ever see them again. But if the Lord told you to do it according to Proverbs, you made a loan. Listen, by giving that person what God told you to do, God is taking out a loan with you. And I got you. I need you to know God's going to pay you back with dividends. The Bible says, cast your bread on the water. After many days, it's coming back. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen bread, I don't care what kind of bread it is, hit water? Do you know what happens to the bread after a minute or so? It expands. I'm trying to tell somebody, you can't give out anything that's going to be a blessing and it's not going to come back expanded. That's the principle of God. Listen at this. Let's walk back through the word again. I want you to see something else. Because it says, again, verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, notice here. Some people you will have compassion on. God's going to speak to your heart, and you're going to minister to them in a compassionate spirit. You're going to save them. You're going to win them. You're going to witness to them in that kind of spirit. But there are going to be others who have been so messed up and are so out of it, and they're going to be in a house, if you will, and talking about in the world of sin, in a place where they are on their way to destruction. And God will show you them. And it's just like the rescue stories you see and hear. You know, people crash and somebody stopped, the car's burning, and the rescuer goes in there and pulls that person out. Well, listen at this. This person is unconscious, or this person is helpless, can't get out of there by themselves. Do you think they're really going to object to you helping save their lives? No, and especially if they are unconscious of the situation, they will be glad you helped save them. See, some people are so messed up in this world that they don't realize how messed up they are. And so he likens it to a house being on fire and you being a rescuer. You go in with, again, the intent not to stay in there, not to have fellowship in there, not to make conversation in there, but to go in there and pull that person out of there. And my question to you is, are you going to take your time doing it, or are you going to rush on in there, get them, and get on out of there? You ain't going to go up and say, oh, man, they had some nice stuff up in here. Lord have mercy. Lord, oh, you here, huh? Well, let me, because you can get caught in the fire and the house burned down and catch you in it, correct?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.